Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Oh Lord, we are yours. Amen. I've known a great many worries, and most of them never happened, is how the humorist and writer Mark Twain put it. That quote got a hold of me when I was a youth, and I noted in my spirit to pay attention to see whether that was true or not. And along life's way, I've discovered that some worries were real, but most of them never happened as I thought. And the word of Jesus that we're going to be stepping into for a few moments today really teach us of how to trust him in a way that if there are genuine concerns behind our worry, of how to deal with them by our trust in him and how to let go of the stuff that is only fluff and yet to us is ever so real. This is one of the reasons why this photograph that you see now is one of my favorite Trinity photographs. Here are four ladies, long-term friends, who have learned the difference. They have experienced a lot of hardships in life, worries that were along the way, and found a way in God's care to, well, actually laugh a way through. To be able to have the kind of care and the concern in one's heart that's given to God and to be able to see what is possible. Getting this down early in our life enables us to be healthier and trusting people. So I'm glad that in our DNOW weekend, where we have 55 youth connected with leaders staying in homes of our church members, that you see in the photographs here from a mission outreach of our youth at the Alpha Home work or in people's yards, or wrap up last night here in the sanctuary. You can imagine that in the year 2017, what all these youth are dealing with, thinking about, worrying about. And yet, indeed now, that word means discipleship now. Teaching early in their life that it really is about a living relationship with God, and a living relationship with God is where we can bring the worries of our life, place them into his hands, let him shape what are our concerns in such a way that he gives us the courage and the strength to take them forward. As we pray for our youth and grateful for the strength within our youth, so it is that we move forward. When I came 8 years ago, when we had a DNOW weekend, we had only a handful of youth. And we celebrate then and the progress made along life's way. In the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, in these passages from Matthew 5 through 7, these 111 verses that we're focusing on in the message series in January, February, and March, in the heart of this, he speaks to something that affects all of us. He speaks about what we think about and what we fear, what we feel and what we fear. And so in the 10 verses of that April read for us, Matthew 6, 24 through 34, he asks 8 questions. And he uses the word worry 6 times. You think something's on his mind? And what he is doing by asking these questions, he's engaging what we're feeling and also what we're thinking in such a way that by the time he gets to his climax, we want to see what he is showing us. We want to be able to step into the promise that he is providing, the reality that is bigger than the reality of the worries which we have in our life. He guides us in seeing his meaning that through our trust in God's character, we can relax in his care. By seeing the character of the Father, we can relax then in the Father's care. That's the living relationship that makes possible for us. Now, in the 6 times that Jesus used the word worry, he used a particular word. It's a very specific term for worry. It's the same word that is part of the Greek expression for the weed called a darnel. The darnel was particularly a suffocating weed for all the healthy plants and grass. The darnel would absorb the oxygen in the soil. It would absorb the water and would cause then the other plants and grass of the field to die because this weed was taking all those other resources. And so when Jesus uses the word of worry and do not worry, he's being very graphic about what worry does. And worry, he says, is a way of choking off our life. Worry is a way of cutting off the oxygen that we need to trust in God. Now, if the living relationship is the answer, being able to trust in God in such a way that we can trust his character and therefore in his care for us, the kind of faith that's required for the challenges in which we live needs the oxygen of faith to give us the strength for what is before us. But if we're praying to the idols of worry, if we're making fears into an idol, and we're focusing our attention around it, then we're distracted from actually being able to trust in God's presence in the moment. So Jesus gets to the close within his message by giving us a kind of a guideline, the guideline of the pathway for life in Matthew 6:33. He said, "What we seek sets our direction." That is, your direction is set by where your life is going. Where do you want your life to be? And our worries can be that we're not going to get to where we want to be, and so we spend a lot of time around what he was describing of what we would eat or think or clothe ourselves. And Jesus said none of those things are going to keep you from getting to a fulfilling life. But let me provide for you a living relationship by which then your drink and your eat and your clothes, food, water, and shelter are the three things we need to survive. He understood our desire to survive. But he said, let me tell you, when you are seeking first me, my kingdom, my way of living life, then all the things that you need along your life will be provided for you. George Lucas, the epic creator for Star Wars and the director, put it this way: always remember your focus, because it determines your reality. That what you're focusing on for you is the reality that you're interacting with. It's what you're giving your attention to. And therefore, as we focus in our relationship with Christ, then we're able to do the D now, the discipleship. When he said, Jesus said, let me have your focus, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. So when Jesus said, first the invitation, come, that's the invitation to be in relationship. Follow is the invitation of obedience. Let me make you is that his character and his care will shape us to live our best life. And the outcome for that is then our life will fulfill its purpose in being a fishers for people. Now, setting the reality of our focus is kind of what this turtle is doing, trying to get over the fence. That turtle has one thing on its mind. It's too far to drop and fall. I'm not sure what I'm going to do when I get to the top of this fence, but here I am. Sometimes in life we can be felt like we're caught like this turtle, not sure which way to go, but we keep on going. And what Christ wants us to do is to be able to first make sure we're set in the right direction, and then as we're moving in that direction, that we stay focused in his direction. And then we deal with the stuff that happens along the way. Well, that's the overview. Now, here are the three specifics that he lays out for us, the three how-tos that we engage it with. First is, he says, name your worries. Give them to God. When he lays out his eight questions, that's what he's doing for them. He said, I've been paying attention to you. I'm listening to your conversation. I know what is in your heart. And so as he describes it then, he says for them, I know that you have a lot of worry going on inside you. And you've been talking about what you're going to drink and what you're going to eat. And then you're also how your body's going to have the clothing that you need, right? Now he does a teaching movement. He moves from the lesser to the greater. He said, now look at the birds of the air. Do you see them? And look at the lilies of the field. Do you smell them? Now see how God provides for them? And if he does that for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, you, his children, being made in his image for his purpose, do you think he's going to forsake you? I ask that you, in worship now, as we head towards the invitation, you name to yourself, in light of God, what is it that worries you? What is it that worries you. And we're going to do something with that. This past Thursday, Trinity Baptist Church and Alpha Home Ministry shared with partners from around the city had the Doorway of Hope banquet for our Alpha Home for courageous women recovering from a painful past through addictions with alcohol or other drugs into the recovery into the future. Rita is here today, and she's so today is her 14th anniversary of recovery. Yeah. Caught a photograph of her at the banquet in which she was with a woman who we baptized 2 years ago in a living relationship with Christ, continuing with her recovery and strong and beautiful and powerful. You see a photograph here of all the ladies that were in blue at the luncheon, and they were our greeters, and they had a statement that said, "Ask me my story." Willing to tell the story of what led them into the life of pain that led them to a way of self-medicating and the false way of dealing with worry by drugs and a lifestyle of addiction. Danny Trejo was the actor who is our featured speaker. He said he came to real faith when he was in prison and realized that's not the way he wanted his life to go. He came out of prison and then he stumbled into a life of acting. And then he realized that his life of acting was really about just getting the attention of people to be able to communicate a message. And his message was being able to communicate that your life is better without drugs, and with drugs your life is just going to get worse. And how it is that faith becomes a resource for us then to deal with it. What he discovered is that in the midst of the prison, he knew that he wasn't seeking after what was best for his life. He wasn't seeking after righteousness. He wasn't seeking after God's way. It was a pause moment in that he was empowered to do something about it. And the doing something about it was a way of recovery. Now, there is a difference between this general worry and a genuine concern. We do have problems. Right now, as you're thinking through about what you're worrying, it can be that as you kind of shed off some of the first things you come to, underneath that is a core concern, something that is truly dangerous and ominous and threatening. But by getting rid of the stuff on top of it, those other worries, then you'll have the energy and your faith with God and your resources of relationships, your thinking with your mind, feeling with your heart. God will give you the resources to deal with a genuine concern. And so walk in partnership under God's leadership. Walk in partnership under God's leadership. Clint Swindoll was my guest this morning at so we wrapped up the Stock Show and Rodeo in our radio program. So nationally known, a motivational speaker. And Clint was describing that in marriage, that both partners in the marriage want to be growing spiritually. And when they're both growing spiritually, one may get a little ahead than the other one, and the other one needs to say, I want to stay up with you, I want to keep growing here, and the other one helps them to grow. And they may trade off in the course of the marriage, but both of them have to be under the leadership of the Lord. And when we say we're under God's leadership, that's clearly a way of saying that we're not getting ahead of where God wants us to be within our life. And if we have a lot of worry going on in our life, then it tells us that we're trying to get ahead of where God is. Now, you know, last week I shared with you part of where I entered a time of fasting and lost some weight along the way. The other part of that is there are a lot of issues I was dealing with. And those issues, I needed to give extra attention to dealing with some genuine concerns. And in those genuine concerns, I was using food as a way to de-stress and de-medicate. You don't know anything about that, do you? Okay. I think I've earned it. I'm going to kick back, and I'm going to go ahead and have whatever that food is thing. And I realized that was really taking some of my best energies away to focus on where I really needed to focus. That's really what fasting is all about. Part of that was dealing with dizziness and decreased hearing. And so when I was going through my testing of what we needed to do, what ultimately was a successful surgery, I had the golden opportunity to meditate in a very unique setting. And some of y'all have meditated in the same setting. you get in a kind of a round tube on a table, and they slide you in this dark cave called an MRI, and they play all kind of sweet sounds around you, you know, like click and clack and click and clack, and that stuff goes on for 45 minutes. It really is a unique opportunity to meditate, isn't it? And it makes it really clear about what we're worried and what we're praying about, and also what we can do something about and what we can't do anything about. What I did know is that the concern got me to the place of a diagnosis in order for whatever was the underlying condition to be dealt with. I couldn't solve it on my own, but I needed a team of people to do that with. You can't solve every problem in your life, and God doesn't want you to solve every problem in your life on your own. Jesus called disciples and created a community, called the church to be the resurrected presence of Christ in a worried world. We need each other. Now, there's some things that only you can do, and you have to do that in order for God to do what only God can do, or for us to do with you. What we can only do is we do it together by your doing what only you can do. Did you get all that? I think you get the sense of it. And as we act on the genuine concern, then we find ourselves being able to relax under God's leadership of what's being provided. I mean, a classic example of a model, a legacy of who did this was Corrie Ten Boom, which is why I frequently will speak back to her. This lady who lived in Harlem, Netherlands during the time of Hitler's evil Third Reich that came into the cause of World War II. Passionate Christians, and in the passionate Christians, her brother was a leader in their denomination to evangelize Jews, to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to the Jewish community. And then he realized what was happening to the Jewish community by the evil practice of the Third Reich. They're being discriminated against, ultimately arrested, sent to concentration camps. So the family decided to create a hiding place, as you know the story, in their very home. And so in the very home, they created a false wall that you see the photograph of here. And in that false wall would go people that otherwise would be arrested and sent to the concentration camp. Here's what Corrie Ten Boom said about worry. That worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around the center of fear. That worry can't do is not going to solve the problem. It's an inefficient way of thinking. And it centers around, though, there's fear. Now, there's a genuine fear of the threat of the Third Reich, and ultimately that would cost most of her family their lives, and she would go to a concentration camp. Big stuff. And yet they were called to action, and as they were doing the action and protecting the Jews, you can imagine how they prayed when the Third Reich came into their apartment, wondering if they were going to discover who was being hid. And the only way the Third Reich discovered who was being hid was because a neighbor turned them in. And after the war, after most of her family died in the concentration camp, but Corrie came back, she discovered who had snitched, betrayed, deceived her family. And what would she do when she saw them? But she went up to that person and forgave them, because she had seen the utter hell in the concentration camp. And the grace could only be the way forward for this person who had created such a despicable sin. Winston Churchill, also of that same era, put it this way: let our advanced worrying become advanced thinking and planning. By getting at the core of what the genuine concerns are, then we can put together a strategy, a game plan, an action. But if we're trying to go after the trivial stuff, we will never be satisfied. We will never win over that kind of worry. But we can defeat whatever the opposition is. And we certainly, under God's grace, can defeat the enemy as we trust in him and we lean into it. Now, I ask you to be thinking about what you're worrying. You'll notice in your bulletin, you do read your bulletins, right? Okay. When you received your bulletin, not only are my sermon notes, our order of worship, and some key upcoming ministry events, but there is a panel there for you to write out your prayer concerns. And that you can take that panel and write out your prayer concern, And it can be given to either me, the pastoral staff. If you ask, we can place it in the prayer room that you'll hear more about. And as you place it into the prayer room, you can know there are a group of people praying for you. If you want to keep it confidential, then just don't sign your name. If you like for someone to follow up with you, then sign your name. But you can be able to name that, give it to God in the hands of a praying people. And those concerns then, well, you know, are being cared for. Your burdens are being lifted by a community of faith in Christ and a community who loves you. But by naming it, we begin to let go of it so that all of God's resources can be embraced. It enables you then to win. Now, it does no good to feel shame or guilt about what we might worry about. All that does is it causes us to hide it in a corner, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But by naming it, we begin to let go of it. We begin to take it out of its power. We begin to give it more clearly into the hands of God. So Jesus wraps it up in what seems like an unusual verse, 6:34. And in 6:34, he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, Jesus isn't saying don't plan. He isn't saying don't prepare. He isn't saying I've got a science exam on Thursday. I don't need to study for it until 4 a.m. Thursday morning. But what he is saying, that being able to focus your energy by following his pathway, living in his resources, identifying the true concerns, doing all that you can do, then let God do what only God can do. We can't save ourselves from our own sin, but we can name our sin, give it to God, ask for his grace, and giving our care and concerns into his character, we know he will care for us. He died on the cross on the mission of the Messiah in order to win the battles of this world. And then gave living proof by being buried into the grave and rose again, and all of his promises rose with him. He is the victor. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. Now, embrace life. Let tomorrow come. And be set free of a distraction, of a fear that you can do nothing about today, other than maybe what you've already done in light of God. And when it comes, he'll have you ready. Yesterday afternoon, we had the remarkable celebration service for Modena Osborne, a member of our church when she moved here after her husband's death, the son of Greg Osborne. She died at age 92, and I was able to be with her and Greg few days before she passed away. No one was asking for her to live longer. She had lived a good life, faithful life. She was born, shall we say, in the most humble of circumstances. She lived part of her life in a tent as a little girl. She came to a faith in Christ, and music was part of her life. The pastor's wife taught her how to play the piano. And she then would begin to play the piano in worship experiences, and she would teach children of Archer City, or later in Portland, Texas, how to play the piano. Wore the organ. And all the while she was playing hymns, like the hymn book. She could play any of the hymns we're here, and as she did, she was seated at the piano or the organ, and she was playing, practicing, preparing. She would think about the words that are here as she played the music. And she prayed. She played them as a prayer, just letting God calm her. And imagine, born in 1925, depression 4 years later, came of age in the depression of a family who had almost nothing when she was a girl. A faith in Christ, she married the year after this World War II. And that Clarence, as she put together their life, she lived her life faithfully. Not because life was particularly long stretches of just being easy, but it was always good. It was always good, though it wasn't always easy. Because she wasn't looking for easy to believe in God. She was looking to believe in God that would make the times good in which she was living. And she could embrace life because she faced the future with her faith. To face your future with your faith. Have you named your worries? Given them to God? Let Him show you His character to give you the strength to deal with what you need to deal with. Let Him take care of everything else and enjoy your life. Let's pray. Living Lord God, we are yours, and we are grateful for the gift of just being able to breathe right now, being alive right now. A lot of things going on around us that are trying to control us and make us really anxious. We really pray to help to see things for what they are. There's some stuff going on inside us that maybe we've just been created a pattern that's been very kind of worry infested, that we just, we're going to name it to you, give it to you, and every day pray a prayer as we begin the day. Lord, I'm yours. I give my life to you today. I give you all my concerns. Work around me, work in me, and work through me to the lives of others. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.